Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Key, why does today feel like it's Thursday?
No? Am I alone here? Okay.
Today is Thursday. It may have been that it didn't feel like Thursday because it wasn't Thursday that day. What gave you a Thursday feeling? Do you remember?
I have no idea when that was even from.
Do you think this is a Friday feeling today?
1,000,000% it's a Friday feeling for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Today pretty much is Friday.
Right, even though it's Thursday. But it has a Friday feel because of 4th of July coming up.
Friday's right on the verge.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you got planned for 4th of July?
Molly Kerem has a good thing. She goes, happy Friday Eve on Thursday, even if it's the morning. It's a good feeling.
That's why Friday's the best day of the week. No. You see how you just read?
Saturday's the best day of the week. Sunday's the second best day of the week. Friday is the third best day of the week.
Max, you just have some crazy takes. I mean, that's one of your craziest.
The day you would rather stay Fridays, up late than sleep in.
Summer Fridays, Max? Is that not a thing for you?
Yeah, if you have Friday off, great.
Summer Fridays?
No doubt. Yeah,
I know people that go to work on Friday that still feels like they have Friday off.
That's what I'm saying.
They
that's where people
less.
Are crazy.
It's like
people are nuts. No.
What do you mean people are nuts?
I get having we've been through this a million times, but if you like Friday better than Sunday, you value anticipation more than experience, and you value staying up late more than sleeping in.
Oh, my goodness. Max, so this Friday, we go right into the long weekend. July 4th is on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
Yeah, but you know how good that makes Sunday? Now it's in the middle
of
the long weekend.
Now it does.
Yeah, but so take a regular weekend.
No.
You still got to get up early. You got to work all day long, the whole thing. You know, the bars
Friday,
and the clubs and everything, they're not packed on Friday like on Saturday.
Friday.
People are exhausted. They just want to go home.
Friday, I'm having my drink.
Yeah.
I'm relaxing.
Yeah.
Going out to dinner.
What are you doing on Sunday? You're sleeping in.
That's fine. But this is the way I'm decompressing into the weekend of relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
This is my day. Yeah. It's my day.
Friday's pretty good. Don't get me wrong. It's just I'd rather have the whole day off than just the anticipation of having the next 2 days off.
You're fine.
What the Bucks do this offseason, Jay?
That was an interesting turn.
Is going to affect the future of the NBA. It's like the Friday of the because look, Giannis has won a finals and he was a beast in that finals. Let's not forget every other season except that one finals. The question has been, I mean, it wasn't after he won it, right? That reset everything. But until then, the question was, hey, they wall off against Giannis. Can he shoot it well enough? Can he get a team over the top? Blah, blah, blah. Then he won the championship. But, Jay, he won the championship. Giannis might be my favorite player. He might be the most likable superstar in sports, period, anywhere in the world. But he won the championship because the Nets were hurt. They were never going to beat the Nets at full strength. Nets were killing them. Just with KD and Kyrie. Even as it was, just with KD, they got to a seventh game in overtime. KD's foot on the line is the reason they even won. So they never really quite put enough around him. They got a little lucky when they won that championship. Jay, you've been talking about it. Given the improvement of teams in the East,
well,
what do they got to do to keep them?
It's the entire league. It's just not the Eastern Conference. Like, first off, with the Eastern Conference, you're looking at Boston. You're saying Boston is one of our rivals, right? Like, if we're in this race for best player in the world, and we're saying that's moving between Giannis, Steph, and Nikola Jokic. I'm watching the entire league. So I'm saying, hey, Jason Tatum is knocking on the door. Jaylen Brown is knocking on the door. They just added Kristaps Porzingis. We're sitting over here saying, what moves is Philadelphia going to make? Are they bringing back James Harden? Are they going to let James Harden walk? Fred VanVleet is out there. He's played with the likes of Nick Nurse before. They understand how things operate. Are they going to put the ball in the hands of Tyrese Maxey? What moves are they going to make? Hey, what's going on? What the hell is going on in Phoenix? They just added Bradley Beal with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. What moves are they making? Hey, Golden State, they brought in CP3 are they going to bring back Draymond Green? Obviously, they are. Jordan Poole is no longer there. We got guys out there like Kyle Kuzma. If you're Giannis saying, wait, I was back-to-back MVP. I won NBA Finals MVP. I'm a world champion. I have my contract extension coming up.
I got my Disney movie made. Who else does?
I got a lot of stuff popping off right now. Like, how are the Milwaukee Bucks, who we just lost one of our majority owners in Mark Lazar, who had a tight relationship with. Wes Edens now has control of the franchise moving forward, along with Jim Haslam, who owns the Cleveland Browns as well. Like, what are we doing with Brook Lopez? Like, if we lose Brook Lopez to Golden State or to another team that pays him more money, I'm looking at Chris Middleton saying, I like you, Chris Middleton, a lot. Like, you opted out of your deal. Like, been hurt a lot over the last 2 years. Like, who are you surrounding me with? Kyle Kuzma? Like, what moves are we making now to keep me in the hunt?
Jay? Well, it's funny, as you were saying that, I'll get to it seems to me the pattern is you win the you're a big who wins the MVP twice in the regular season. Then they don't give it to you in year three, and that's the year you win the championship, the finals MVP. That happened to Giannis, then it happened to Jokic. I guess Embiid this upcoming year wins an MVP, and then the following year wins a championship. If the pattern holds, then maybe Tatum, he's not a big, but is this finally the time where the Knicks fans, who always think they're going to get the star and never do, they always wind up with the consolation prize. You're going to get Chris Childs, not Tim Hardaway. You're going to get Larry Johnson, not Charles Barkley. Even Allen Houston, but not Reggie Miller, right? You're going to get a great player like Jalen Brunson. Boy, but you didn't get the superstars. It turns out maybe he's a superstar. Almost, you got him. He was undervalued. Is this finally the time where Knicks fans can look at another team's superstar and say, we got a real shot to get
him? Watching. You're watching every single move. I tell you who else is watching every single move. Miami's watching every single move. Ooh. You don't think Pat Riley down in Miami would love to have Giannis
Giannis brings
to that? I'll tell you another team that nobody even talks about. Great.
Don't let Pat Riley get and Spoelstra get their hands on Giannis.
I mean, I think the likeliness of this team, probably not so much knowing how competitive Giannis is to do something on his own. But like, he's flirted around with Golden State. You tell me what the situation, if Clay potentially comes off the books, you got CP3 coming off the books next year. Like, I really do think this is one of those years, though, for Giannis, where it's, what are you doing to help me stay at the top of the Eastern Conference? And every Milwaukee Buck fan knows this. Like, you have one of the best players in the world. You have to optimize and monetize that now. What pieces are you surrounding him with now?
I know how he feels, and, I've seen the video that he doesn't like, L.A. is so expensive and everything. When you talk about who you'd want to hand the keys to the Lakers to, really, of all the stars out there, he's not as...
I don't see that at all.
Listen, he's not as... he has a quality to him. I'm going to use a name. He says, it's not Magic Johnson, in the sense that when Giannis walks into a room, he makes people happy. Right, people are happy to be watching him, and he's a championship caliber, player. I know L.A. might be a lot for him, but New York might be a lot for him too.
Yeah, I don't see L.A. at all.
That's what everyone says about him. I don't know why.
Because he's, the thing about that is, I mean, granted, New York feels like there's more of the immigrant story for him, yeah, and how that. Feeling here is in New York, it seems more like that. The glitz and the fame of that doesn't feel like that's him.
I see.
To me.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do. I do.
Now look, he may end up staying in Milwaukee if John Horst and company surround him with the right pieces.
He wouldn't be the first guy drafted to Milwaukee who wound up in L.A., but of course, Kareem went to school in L.A., the whole thing. It's a little different.
I still see Milwaukee being a viable option as long as they continue to maximize the talent around him. But this whole status quo and staying stagnant, that can't be the answer moving forward. You can't just allow that. I'm in my prime. I need to win. I'm watching these dudes put together contenders. Phoenix is now a legit contender. Golden State is a contender. What are we doing?
So do you think that if they recreated the formula that won the championship, and as I said, they got lucky that Brooklyn was not, only had KD, basically, and it still almost lost that series. But do you think, in other words, is it a healthy version of Middleton, some player like that they're missing? What are you looking for if you're Giannis, what piece are you looking at? Let's say they keep Lopez, a 7-footer who can protect the rim and shoot. By the way, he's no spring chicken. Eventually, you're going to have to replace him. But Drew Holiday's not going to retire. And really, the issue is Middleton is not available, and you, most of the time, and he may be the guy you have to replace. Who are you replacing? Is that what it is? You got to replace Middleton with someone? When you say they got, you got to see something. I mean, what is Middleton, it he has to see?
Middleton obviously being hurt. I mean, I think that hindered them. He didn't seem like he came back all the way the same. Now having multiple injuries, I think what you decide to sign him for is a pretty big thing, mm-hmm. because he like that's your number two. But like, where is he in the process of his game and health wise? It's a really big thing that you have to figure out. You're making that bet,
but let's say
for
he's
the next 2 or 3 years of Giannis's career.
Wait, but when you say right, of course. But when you say like, if I'm Giannis, I need to see something. Everyone's getting better. Is it that no? The structure of the team and what we do, it got us a championship. That's good enough. We just need to replace some pieces with new pieces. Or is there some other kind of direction you think that the team should go in? So, were you looking for a Middleton replacement or something else?
I'm looking for an upgrade everywhere.
Well, Drew Holiday, you got
Drew
that.
Drew Holiday's great.
And you like Brooke Lopez there. So we got three of the starting five.
I would like to have an upgrade, like version of Chris Middleton that is healthy.
A couple
like,
of...
I need like a dynamic number two in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Like we're still going to be right there. They're still right there. But like having a dynamic number two...
Had Bradley Beal been a guy or something like
yes.
that? Right. Someone like that.
Kyle Kuzma potentially could be a guy.
You think Kyle Kuzma?
I think Kyle Kuzma is a really good player. Now, he's not the same defender as Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. But, like, once again, like, what Chris Middleton version are we talking about here? You know, like, guy coming off injuries, like, that's it's not
we're
like
talking
coming,
about Chris Middleton 20 points and defends the wing.
Like,
you know?
Chris Middleton used to be, like, the 50-40-90 Chris Middleton. Like, there was, like, in his prime, like, he was putting up big numbers. Like,
an efficient
scorer. I'm not
sure
we have that same Chris Middleton now.
An efficient scorer and a long defender for the position.
Like, I'm not saying Kyle Kuzma's it, but like Kyle Kuzma ain't no slouch.
You mentioned Zach LaVine for the Heat. What do you think of Zach LaVine?
Zach LaVine's
on
another one too. I'm scouring the market.
You're Mike T all of a sudden.
Yeah,
Mike Tannenbaum.
Yes, I mean you're a John Horse. You have to be.
As Kyrie Irving gets ready for free agency, how many realistic landing spots does he have? KJM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Free agency tomorrow, 6 p.m. It sets off. Kyrie Irving gets ready for it. How many realistic landing spots does he have? Ramona Shelburne, ESPN senior writer. Listen.
Well, how do you get a max contract? You create leverage. And from what I'm told with sources close to the situation, he intends to take meetings when free agency opens. Widely held expectations that he returns to Dallas. But what that contract looks like and what happens with these meetings that he intends to take when free agency opens is going to be very interesting. Now, what's important to Kyrie Irving? From what I'm told, he wants to find a place where he can spend the rest of his career, a place that feels like home. Hmm. And that's an interesting thing for a guy like Kyrie who's approaching a free agency where it's not really a lock for him to get that five-year max that the Dallas Mavericks are in position to give him.
The rest of his career, do you sign in Dallas if you're Kyrie? Jay? If it's me, do you sign in Dallas? Do you really believe you're going to win a championship there with you and Luka taking up most of the money and in certain respects being redundant, right? It's possible, but I don't know if that gives you a great chance. I know people have said the Lakers have moved on. Is that one of the teams he'd want to take a meeting with?
But you have salary cap restrictions, man. You have the second apron. Like, so people, like, you know, when people say, does that give you the best chance? Like, one of the things that happens over this span is that you have so many people that throw people on certain teams, and it just doesn't work that way. You see a lot of teams that are trying to stay under the cap. You have a lot of teams that if you use the mid-level exemption, that takes you to a hard cap, and that restricts you in a lot of different ways. So that's why you see a team like Golden State say, hey, on this one-year deal, it makes sense for us to have a CP3 because we have to get under the cap and get Jordan Poole off our books. So when you say, well, you know, one player in Kyrie Irving with Luka takes up a lot of your money, that's same thing with LeBron and AD. It's the same thing with a lot of players.
LeBron is at an age where he's going to come off the books before too long, and you're going to want a dynamic team going forward. You know, the way I think of it is when I see the Lakers want to re-sign D'Angelo Russell, and D'Angelo gets some absurd amount of money. Now, what is it? It's like 30 or something like that. So it's going to get cut in half. But I started thinking, do I want D'Angelo Russell on the team? No. Because in the playoffs, if you are unplayable on both ends of the floor, you got to go. In L.A., you got to go. So if you don't want D'Angelo Russell, now you start to think about Austin Reeves getting maybe $25 million a year for 4 years. And I like Austin Reeves a lot. But if you're asking me who's better, Austin Reeves or Kyrie Irving, there's no comparison. And I know Reeves can also defend, and Kyrie doesn't always.
So but also, what you have to give up for that, though, Max, it's just not like Austin Reeves or Kyrie Irving.
No, you're but I said D'Angelo. So if you don't want D'Angelo Russell, if you consider that a zero anyway, and they might bring him back, and Austin Reeves, you're like, all right, I'd rather have Kyrie than Austin Reeves. If it means taking those two guys away and getting Kyrie in there somehow. I don't know how you say no to that.
Well, if I'm the Lakers, I'm not going after Kyrie Irving. I'm looking at Bruce Brown. I really like my team is right there. Like, and I know people were infatuated with making these big threes. Yo, the Lakers are right there.
But yes, and but Bruce something has Brown to go wrong for Denver. They're right there, and if Denver comes in, they're not at full strength. Jamal Murray misses a couple games. Yes. But they're not beating that Denver team as currently constructed with another nice perimeter piece, you know, a 3-and-D
guy. I mean,
guy.
Look, I don't know, Max. I mean, you put Bruce Brown on the Lakers, and now Bruce Brown guarding the likes of Jamal Murray.
And you take him away. You take him away. You're
taking
him
away.
Yeah.
Like,
you're
great,
weakening
like,
them. And
I'm putting my best
yourself.
Defender on your top flight perimeter player offensively. Now, nobody's really stopping Jokic, but at least you have the size. Like, I'll take AD. Like, I think AD has actually one of the best shots in the NBA to actually hinder Jokic more so than anybody.
So then your team is LeBron, Reeves, Brown, Hachimura, and AD?
Yeah, and then you're trying to fill out the margins.
Yeah, you shoot it just well enough.
Guys like Javon Carter,
you defend.
Shooters.
Yeah.
You're not far off, man. Like, I'll give up my depth and just put Kyrie Irving. I'm like, I don't know about that.
What I'm saying is you're not actually giving up depth because...
But you are.
But do you want D'Angelo Russell on the team?
I would personally move D'Angelo Russell, right? I'm keeping Austin Reeves. I'm not giving up Austin Reeves.
I would like to keep Austin Reeves, too. If I told you you could trade Austin Reeves for Kyrie straight up, would you do it?
But that's not a realistic world.
I get it, but would you do it?
But it's not a realistic world.
It's a hypothetical I'm asking you.
Okay,
so if you're going to get rid of D'Angelo Russell anyway.
But I just don't know about that, though.
What's that?
Because I really like the way Austin Reeves defends.
I know.
He defends.
Take Hachimura before you take Reeves.
He gives you an energy, a level. I mean, granted, the high side of Kyrie is way different. I'm not saying the players compare, but like for the need that I feel like L.A. needs, Austin Reeves might serve that need more for me than Kyrie would.
He's a two-way player, and he's an actual scorer because – he has counters and everything. It's not just like he can shoot. He can actually play. Calvin in Florida, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Calvin?
What's up, Calvin?
Well,
Calvin Ridley?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Are you Calvin Ridley?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You with the Jags?
No, man. Different part of Florida.
Yeah, okay.
But, I want to talk about the driving thing with Key yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I'm on Key's side. Because if you see a red light, do you just slam on the brakes or do you gradually stop? Same thing with a green light. You just gradually go.
But you must stop.
Well, what's the stopping, though, at the red light? Is it one Mississippi,
no, cause
two
that's
Mississippi,
the thing. If you see a red light, it's a command. It's not an option.
Right.
But you don't just...
I don't mind if you gradually go. But you start to put, but at the red light at the line, right? You have to have come to a complete stop by then. When the green light goes, I mean, green light go. It means
gradually
you have to,
go.
You can gradually go, but let me see those tires move.
If you're gradually stopping,
I'm not saying you
got to
race
go.
Through the red light. I'm saying you got to start rolling those tires.
That's two Mississippis, Calvin. That's not five.
Yeah, but five is, Key was saying four. Four is too long. I agree with that part. And then Diane was tripping with the five. But that was crazy.
So you're disagreeing with Key. You called on here saying you were agreeing with Key, but now you actually disagree with Key.
No. I'm still on Key's side because you're going nowhere fast. So why are you rushing? Why are you slamming
on
the
wall? What I'm doing.
You're gradually going. That's two Mississippis.
That's
right. You're gradually going. Key was stopping, waiting for Mississippis.
I will bring up again.
He's not gradually doing anything.
This stuff has been studied.
Changed my mind.
Something like traffic is caused by something like 80% of the traffic. This may be a slight exaggeration, but I remember this sticking out in my mind.
Where is this fact coming from?
5% of the drivers. This was a study from a couple years ago, and it was a legitimate study. It was some academic institution that I'm forgetting at the moment, but this is going back a couple years. But not like 10 years, like 2 or 3 years. 5% of the drivers cause the majority of the traffic because they drive too slowly in the left lane, right? The passing lane. And so that requires, not only does that clog up traffic, now cars have to change lanes and speed. And that's what leads to accidents a lot of the time, right? Which also leads to more traffic. But I'd be curious to know how much traffic is caused by people waiting at red lights. Jason in Florida, you're on, Florida. You're on KJM ESPN Radio. I said Florida.
Hey,
and Fort
good morning,
Lauderdale
guys.
At the same
what
time.
Part of Fort Lauderdale, though?
What the exact town? You want me to give away my address, man? Come
no,
on.
I'm just wondering where in Fort Lauderdale. Like,
no, I'm right in the heart of Fort Lauderdale, downtown.
All right. Okay. Well, what's your social security? Jay wants to know. All right, go ahead, Jason.
All right, 999999. Yeah, okay, exactly. So here we go. Real quick, before I make my basketball point, there should never be traffic in a million years unless God forbid an accident. So I'm convinced there are four or five people in the lanes that are all in cahoots saying, you know what, we're going to screw up everybody's day. Let's go 30 miles an hour.
Yep.
That's the problem with traffic.
Well, no, there's also, there are other ways to create traffic just with high volume. But go ahead.
All right. No doubt. Anyway, being from Florida and New York, where I'm from, traffic all over the place. Anyway, so here's how you keep you honest, fellas, all right? Bring in Damian Lillard. Make Drew Holiday the centerpiece. Try to do a sign and trade with Middleton. You want to bring back Brooke Lopez, but yeah, Giannis needs another guy. Damian Lillard, we keep talking about him. Where is he going to go? That's a perfect fit.
Holiday, Lillard's a better player. I get it. Drew Holiday defended him extremely well in the playoffs. Drew Holiday is a big-time, money-on-the-line type player. I would hate to give up Drew Holiday.
I would take Dame.
Yes, if you're saying who's better, Dame
Drew Holiday's
too much
talking about retiring in a year and a
but
half.
But that's frustration, right, with Milwaukee?
No, it's actually what's going on with his wife. And even being around his kid, it's a lot of deep stuff, man. Like, he just ain't playing around with that. It's interesting. There's a lot of things going on. I would take a swing at that.
Damian Lillard, certainly the inside-outside game at that point with Giannis would be bananas.
And by the way, like, we should be done with red lights. Just give me roundabouts. Give me roundabouts.
You like a roundabout?
I love roundabouts. It's so much more efficient. Are you stopping, going? Just give me the roundabout. Enter the roundabout. Engage off the roundabout.
You can't do that in a city like New York.
That's
though.
So Jersey.
Hey, what do you mean, so Jersey?
You need more
efficient.
Space. You need
way more of
city's
an
already been
model.
Built. I don't know if you noticed it, but there are buildings all crammed in everywhere.
Well, there are a lot of other towns in New York, Max.
Yes, but not, we're talking
gotta
about
go to break.
What? How much of a believer should you be in the New York Football Giants, KJM?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Just give me the grilling gear and give me a drink and just let me be outside just two-stepping by myself with the kids running around. It's time, Max. It's summertime, baby.
No doubt. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, former NFL executive, of course. He was the architect of what, by Jets standards, must be considered a dynasty. They got to an AFC championship game. That, by the Jets standards, that's a dynasty. Mike T., we talked a lot about Hard Knocks yesterday on this show. What was your favorite memory of being on that show?
Who at the Jets would be dumb enough to agree to go on Hard Knocks, right? look, the whole idea of Rex and the goddamn snack probably starts with there. Now, look, I may have participated in a punt return competition, which I know there's footage out there, guys, but let me say this.
Oh, my goodness.
Jay Will, we won the competition. It was me and my buddy against Rex and his buddy. And it was like baseball innings. And Rex, unfortunately, had a great relationship with the camera crew. We won the competition. So I want America to know that while the footage may be a little a little off here, we won the competition.
Mike T, a little off? Wait a second. How'd you end up falling backwards? We're watching the video now on ESPN2. Was it the lights? Was it the sun? What was it?
Rex is just so happy. My lack of athletic ability. You know, Jay Will, I wish I could tell you it was any of those above, but the reality is it's just the way I was put on this planet. And
Mike T, that's not a punt return or anything. That's assault. I see the way the ball hit you. That's assault. You may have a case. You may have a lawsuit. That's assault. So let's talk.
I want the record to know. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
No. What do you want the record to show?
The record to show that we actually won the competition, despite what we're looking at on a video. We actually won the competition. That wasn't my best rep, but we did win.
Rex was so happy to watch that.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, that's what makes that's Mike. Watching that video is what I miss about team sports, right? Like, the amount of times I watched my head coach joke with my assistant coaches, like those relationships, those bonds, like to see it ultimately come together, like that's why we play. That's why we do what we do.
If it was me, it'd have been for the money, but I hear you.
It's
now, listen.
Both. Well, wait, Mike. So, Mike, yesterday, my boys and I were playing this little game called Start 'em, Bench 'em, Cut 'em, right? And I'm going to say three names. I want to know who you would start your team with, but who you would bench and who you would cut. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh.
Okay.
Give them to me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go with Joe Burrow to start. You know, just based on everything he's done, I got to go with Joe Burrow as the starter. I'm benching Lamar. I'm keeping him because in any one game, he'd be the hardest to look, he can win a game all by himself more than those other guys can. I'm not cutting Josh Allen, but if you're making me, I guess, he'd be third.
Thank you.
Boy, that's a tough conversation.
Mike T, I gave I'm doing my 1 through 15 top quarterbacks. I had Josh Allen 6, and everyone lost their minds. But there are, you just named two guys I take ahead of him. There's Patrick Mahomes, and you might be able to figure out.
So, Mike, but what is it about Lamar Jackson that puts him in that second spot for you? Obviously, when, not us, because we know what his ability is, but when people question his downfield accuracy and things of that sort, what about him makes him number two for you behind Joe Burrow?
Yeah, one, I think he's going to continue to get better. He's incredibly young, despite already being a league MVP. And he has by far, like this season, like if we were on MSNBC right now, or I mean CNBC, talking about stocks, like I'd be investing a lot in the Ravens, their offense, and Lamar. Because when you think about, again, assuming OBJ is healthy, I know that's an if. I love Zay Flowers, their first round pick. Even Nelson Aguilar, they signed, veteran receiver. And Rashad Bateman, oh, by the way, was a first-rounder. He's going to be their fourth receiver. Mark Andrews, a healthy J.K. Dobbins. I think this offense is going to be great. And I think if defenses dare to make Baltimore throw the ball outside and load up the box, I think Lamar's going to make them pay.
I agree. Meantime, let's talk about something that's important right now. The New York football Giants. Because, Mike T, I turned 50 in August, and I have not been alive to see a Jets Super Bowl. However, I have lived through five Giants Super Bowl appearances and four Super Bowl championships. So I must ask you, how much of a believer are you in my beloved New York football Giants?
They may be better this year, Max, with a worse record. You know, last year was one of those years. They won a lot of one-score games, going back to opening day, going for two at Tennessee. I love Brian Daboll. I think Daniel Jones is continuing to get better. But I think it's important by July 17th, guys, to get Saquon Barkley signed to a long-term extension. I think he's materially impacting Daniel Jones' development, and I'm hard-pressed to think that they're going to be better without him than with him.
Agreed. They might have a worse record and or the same record and actually be a better team. But, Mike, how likely is it that they can take a step forward? I think of the tackle position. Evan Neal was a turnstile. That a lot. It's a skills position. A lot of times that happens to tackles in their first season and then take a step forward in their second season. They got a plug-and-play center. They have three pillars kind of their offensive line now, and that could be at a pretty high level. They've spent real draft capital there. They, Daniel Jones, another year with Daboll. They have some receivers who can get separation now. They have an elite tight end. Assuming Barkley comes back, could they maybe, you know, actually do better, win another playoff game, advance in the playoffs?
You know, all those things could be true, Max, but I still think they're looking up at both Dallas and obviously Philadelphia. I think Dallas is going to be much better because I think the way they're going to call the game, they're going to have a lot less turnovers. You know, Dak Prescott had a leading 17 interceptions, including the postseason. We know how good Philly is. So all those things may be true about the Giants, but they are in the NFC East, and I think they're still the third best team.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mike, we have about 30 seconds left, but I do want to know, what do you think is a better fit for Dalvin Cook, the Miami Dolphins or the New York Jets?
Jets, I think from day one he goes in there, helps them win. They have a brutal four games, and I love Breece Hall, guys, but look, an ACL and a running back, I would ease my way back into it. So on a one-year deal, I think Dalvin Cook to the Jets makes a ton of sense.
That is Mike T, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Tannenbaum, thanks, Mike, as always.
You got to put on a visor, put on some shades if you're going to catch the ball in the sun, Mike T. You know?
Yeah, I need more than that, Jay Will, unfortunately for me.
Just look into a lawsuit there, Mike. I don't like what I saw there. It was a little violent. All right. Mike T, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by Brian Windhorst himself. What's going on, Windy?
Good morning.
You here to tease us with some kind of...
I'd love to. I would love to be able to do it, but I can't.
What is it? How did it feel? Is that the first time you've turned into a meme when you did the whole thing with your fingers when you were laying out the... I forgot what it was already, but that's turned into a big thing with you. Was that the first time you've been turned into a meme?
I don't... Probably not, but that's a... Like, NBA players come up and do it to me.
Right.
You know.
And it must be a good... I imagine it's a good feeling because it was highlighted as showing someone who's like masterfully laying something out, right? Like, because you could be memed for other, like, I got memed for the Iguodala thing or gift or gift. I don't know what they call, but you know, like, that's got to be a pretty good feeling.
Look, here's my thing. It can, if it can go that way, it can go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm conditioned to be prepared for it to go the other way someday. So that's why I'm a little bit.
You're staying humble in front of the meme gods.
Much humble, so, you know, it's just awareness that the reaction was inappropriate, and the reaction could be inappropriate to go in the other direction.
Yes,
and some point too.
All right,
Wendy, what's the latest you're hearing just on free agency? Obviously, starting tomorrow, a lot of movement, a lot of pieces. What's the latest,
Jay? Here's the thing about this free agency: almost every player doesn't have a market. What I mean by that is, very few players have multiple bidders. Like James Harden. Maybe Houston.
Maybe.
Kyrie Irving.
We were just talking about that. I don't know.
Like yesterday, the Bulls did a deal with Nikola Vucevic, 3 years and $60 million, all guaranteed. Vucevic is a good player, averaged 18 and 12 or something like that.
He's a problem on defense, though.
Okay, yeah, agree. Why? Who's offering him that? The teams that have salary cap space, Detroit, Orlando, San Antonio, Indiana, these teams aren't really in the market for, like, they're not bidding for James Harden. You know, like, Utah uses cap space on John Collins. Oklahoma City uses cap space on Davis Bertans on draft night. Like, we don't have a marriage of players getting multiple offers. Like, the guys who are going to get multiple offers are guys like Cam Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Like, it's not like it's been in years past where a star has had three choices where he can go and it's really interesting. The guy that is tremendously fascinating is Dame. And he, on Monday, elected really not to enter the fray this week. You know, he went into that meeting, the whole league was like, okay, is this where it happens? And then no trade request. So, honestly, like D'Angelo Russell and the Lakers, like it's not that D'Angelo Russell isn't a good player. It's not that he can't be productive. Who's bidding?
Hmm.
Like he's not going to Orlando, you know, Indiana is not getting into a fight with the Lakers over him. Part of it is the teams that have the space aren't being super aggressive. And we'll get surprised by, like, what the Spurs will do something that'll surprise us. But it's not, the environment is not set up for bidding wars.
Is this because the second apron, the new CBA, is forcing teams to more, I know the environment has changed, but properly value commodities? Like, they have to price them more precisely, mm-hmm. or they get burnt?
Yeah, so your third player is now really important with your salary. If you're a competitive team that's competing for the title, you obviously probably have two star players. Your third player is now, like, a vitally important contract. So let me give you an example. The Nuggets. They got Jokic. They got Murray. They got Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter. And that Michael Porter contract, like,
but it kills them. They're so good, they were able to withstand the Michael Porter contract for now.
So that's what I'm saying. Like these teams are just being really cautious. So, like, again, Nikola Vucevic, good player. Who's paying him like a third star? Nobody, really.
So what's the number for a third star now?
I was going to say, Wendy, for a guy like Zach LaVine, who obviously you heard talk around New York and they kind of combated that. Like, if you're a team like Miami, if you're sitting there, you're waiting for Dame, you're a little bit unsure whether Dame is actually going to do this or not, could you see Miami make a move for a guy like a Zach LaVine, or you think Chicago will be asking way too much?
That's a difference because Zach, people are not sure about his health, you know, because the need, you know, he was awesome, and then he had another knee into surgery,
mm-hmm.
and he hasn't quite been as awesome. So I think he's got this huge contract, and his knee, he hasn't quite been the same. Then maybe he'll come back this year when he's fully a year off that surgery. But that's the thing. Like, I just think you're seeing teams be more cautious. And I think the recipe for action isn't really there. To me, the fascinating things about this offseason, other than Lillard, is the contract extensions for the guys who have a year or two left on their deal. Anthony Davis. Are the Lakers extending him? 3 years, 167. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Then you got guys who have 2 years left on their contract. Giannis. Donovan Mitchell. Like, I don't expect those guys to extend, but I expect their teams to offer it to them.
See, I don't expect Giannis to extend either. I guess if you're watching this arms race happening with what Phoenix is doing, the move that Boston made, like, what moves does Milwaukee need to make to stay at the top of the Eastern Conference, Wendy? Like, it's like they can't remain stagnant anymore.
Milwaukee's getting hit by both sides because they are now a repeater tax team.
Yep.
It's hard to be good for 5-6 years. Especially
this is what I want to know. What is the number you're looking for? Fans are looking for that. Let's say you have two max contracts, right?
You didn't let him finish the
Milwaukee. I need to know this. I've been trying to get it for like 3 minutes. The number? What's the number that you're looking for?
So the second apron, which is basically acts like a hard cap.
Yes,
is like at $178 million or something like that for your whole salary.
Right.
So if you're a star player, like right now, $50 million is the top end.
Yes.
$50 million for your big star.
Giannis. Okay, good.
Yeah. But like if you're the Boston Celtics, okay, now think about this. The Boston Celtics are going to extend Jaylen Brown.
Right.
That's going to be $55 million a year. They're going to extend Jason Tatum. That's going to be $55 million a year. So in 2 years, that's going to be $110 million.
Out of 178.
They didn't trade for Porzingis for it to be a one-off. They're going to try to extend him this summer. He makes $36 million. Okay? That's your third. Now we're talking about our third player, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you give him? Okay, let's just say he gets the same salary, just for the sake of of our argument. All right, between those three guys, in a couple of years, you're looking at potentially $140, $150 million.
You got $28 million to fill out your roster.
Well, I mean, it'll be a little bit more than that because the cap will go up. But that's what I'm saying. Your third number is really important if you've got two other good players.
Okay, so now back to – I'm trying to figure out looking at?
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Giannis is headed for $50 million a year. Chris Middleton opted out. Now, what they signed Chris Middleton to is really important. You got to keep him, right? But then you also have Brooke Lopez. So, like, and they're in the repeater tax. So, like, every $1 million that the Bucks spend, it's like $8 million in tax. Like, last night, the Clippers decided to release Eric Gordon, okay? He's a sixth man, you know, a guy you'd like to have on your roster. By releasing him, they saved $110 million in tax. $110 million, okay?
It's a de facto cap. It hardens the cap so much.
It's like if you're competing for a championship, like you're spending, like you're operating at a loss, a massive loss.
These teams are getting squeezed from both ends. Repeater tax on one side. This is what the situation with the Warriors is. This is why the Warriors had to trade Jordan Poole, because they just can't afford. This is what the league wants. The league wants talent dispersal, and so that's all of that is contributing to why we're not seeing a super team construction. I mean, you could argue that the Suns are doing that, but they were already.
When you give someone a super duper max contract, they better deserve it. Like Jaylen Brown is almost going to be like a test case. Is he going to be worth that money? Right? Like that. Here's a great test case. They go to the conference finals every year of their careers, basically. You want to keep them together, but damn. That is Brian Windhorst, ladies and gentlemen. Should the Heat consider kicking the tires on Zach LaVine? KJM, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.